Grace, mercy, and peace to you from God our Father and from our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Amen. Jesus declared, "When the Son of Man comes in glory and all the angels with him, then he will sit on his glorious throne." So this is how Jesus introduces our reading from Matthew tonight. When he comes in glory and all the angels with him. He is, of course, not referring to his first coming, in which he was born in Bethlehem, but he is talking about his next coming, his return on that great day of judgment. So when Jesus does return, what will it be like? And what will it be like for you as a Christian? What will happen? For centuries, Christians have been searching the scriptures to know what will take place on the last day. And we too should be searching those scriptures. For the Bible alone reveals what God would have us know concerning that great and awesome day of judgment. And just as a doctor continually receives training in his field of expertise, so also we Christians need continual training to be taught the Word of God. To be ready for Christ's return involves being well-grounded in the Word, to be preached to, and to be taught the Scriptures. To read, mark, learn, and inwardly digest the sacred Scriptures. Our training is taught through the sacred Scriptures, drawn as it is revealed to us in the Bible, and also as we have drawn from the Scriptures the small catechism. Through these, we learn who is Christ, what he has done, and what he will do when he returns. And so we diligently study and search the scriptures to gain understanding of what will take place on that last day. It is tempting to surmise what many do in their own minds. It is tempting to believe the imaginations of the thoughts of man as they profess it. It is also tempting to try to do as many do, and that is to find hidden clues in the Bible. But God doesn't promise to work in that way. Instead, he reveals himself and his ways through the clear and understood Word of God. Now, when we consider that last day, many people are terrified by the thought. In fact, if you even read or listen to what you heard from our reading from Peter, it may sound rather terrifying, that great and awesome day of our Lord. It says, "All things dissolve, the heavens pass away with a roar, the earth and the works that are done on it will be exposed, the heavenly bodies will melt as they are burned, for it will be the day of judgment and destruction of the ungodly." But this is precisely why St. Paul writes, the one who was spoken of as some take his words and don't take them for the clear words that they are, or they misunderstand Paul or reinterpret Paul. But Paul's words cannot be minced here. They are clear. He writes to the Thessalonians in 1 Thessalonians 4, "For the Lord himself will descend from heaven with a cry of command, with the voice of an archangel, and with the sound of the trumpet of God. And the dead in Christ will rise first. Then we who are alive, who are left, will be caught up together with them in the clouds to meet the Lord in the air. And so we will always be with the Lord. Therefore, encourage one another with these words." So we have a very clear account of what will happen. Remember when Jesus ascended on up into heaven, the angels announced to the disciples that Jesus will return in the same way that he ascended. And he ascended with that shout, with the voice of an archangel, as Psalm 47 prophesied. He ascended and was received into a cloud. And then we hear that when Jesus returns, there will be those clouds. He'll return through the clouds. We hear about the voice of the archangel, the trumpet call of God. We hear of the resurrection of the body that will take place. And all those who are alive when Jesus returns, as Paul says here, will be caught up to meet the Lord in the air. Caught up, that is where we get that word rapture from. And unfortunately, that word rapture is often misunderstood in modern Christendom. in which many believe that it is a time in which all believers will just suddenly disappear, and all who were not believers will remain and will have time to figure it out before Jesus returns. But that's not what is talking about here, where this word rapture appears. Instead, Jesus returns. It's visible. The angels are present. You have the trumpet call of God. All these things are taking place. The dead are being raised. And then it says, we'll be caught up to meet the Lord in the clouds in the air. You see, on Judgment Day, God will bring all his sheep to be with him. And so we will meet him. He will gather us as the elect, as the chosen ones, as Christians, as ones redeemed by Christ. He will gather us. We are the sheep, as Jesus alludes to in today's reading from Matthew 25. It says that we will meet the Lord in the clouds in the air, and we will always be with the Lord. You see, when all these things take place that Isaiah had prophesied about and that we also heard in 2 Peter 3, we don't want to be on this planet. We don't want to be here as God refashions it, as God makes all things new. So despite the work of God to refashion all things and to make it new and perfect, God will continue to be present among us. He's going to deliver us from any type of torment or suffering that will happen. Because Jesus is, after all, our good shepherd. He is here to take care of us. What this also means is that we don't have to know the entire sequence of events when our Lord Jesus returns. So for those who have been confused by many of the modern teachings concerning the end times, or for those who simply want to believe what they've imagined in their own hearts, if they, in the end, trust in Jesus, he's going to take care of them. So we don't have to have the clearest understanding of all the events that are going to happen on the last day. We don't have to have all the biblical prophecies all worked out in our own mind, as if we didn't, Jesus would then just leave us behind or that he'd abandon us. You see, saving faith is trusting in Jesus. So Jesus will even shepherd that newly baptized infant who now has faith but cannot even articulate any matters of the faith. He will be with those little ones. He will be with those who have fallen asleep and rest from their labors, and he raises up, and he will be with all who are alive when Jesus returns on that great and awesome day. And we who have searched the scriptures will not be caught up in some sort of human maze or trap or on our Lord's return, for he has not set out to abandon us, but instead he is coming for us, and he is coming to judge us. His return will be visible, and we will all know it, for even the angels will be present. The dead will be raised, and Jesus will shepherd his people to life everlasting. He will gather us, and he will gather all who call upon him as one holy church, redeemed by the blood of the Lamb, whose robes have been made white by his blood. Our good shepherd will also separate the sheep from the goats. He will separate the believers from the unbelievers. For those who believe in Christ, their sins will be forgiven. They will be acquitted of all that they have done wrong, for they have received the forgiveness of sins that Jesus has earned for them on the cross. But those who do not believe, their sins will be held against them, for they will remain soiled in their sin, and they will receive eternal condemnation. The righteous will receive eternal life, as Jesus clearly teaches in Matthew 25, the last verse of our reading, verse 46. But how is it then that we can be righteous? If you're honest with yourself, you will know that you have not lived a righteous life even this day. You will know that there has been unrighteous thoughts in your own mind in the moments that you have been here in church. You know that you are a poor, miserable sinner, that you have sinned in thought, word, and deed, that your righteous acts are even like filthy rags when measured up to the perfect standard of God. that you have not been perfect as Jesus had taught you to be in the Sermon on the Mount when he tells you to be perfect like your Father in heaven is perfect. So then how can you be righteous? If Jesus says the righteous are the ones who receive eternal life and you know that you're not righteous, how is it that you can be righteous? Well, you are righteous because Christ credits you with his very righteousness. You see, Jesus came to take away the sin of the world. And he not only shed his innocent blood as the ransom payment for all of our sin, but he also fulfilled the law entirely. He did not break a single point of it. And by keeping the law and fulfilling the entire law, he can then credit you with having kept the law. So he credits you with his righteousness. He acquits you of your sin, declaring you to be not guilty with the forgiveness of sins. And now he covers you with his very righteousness. Righteousness granted to you in your baptism. This is all a gift of God, given to you by grace through faith in him. And when you receive this by grace through faith, you are viewed by God as being the very righteous person that he requires you to be to escape that day of judgment and to be received into his eternal kingdom. And this righteousness by which he credits to each and every one of you by grace through faith is not a righteousness that you can improve upon. You see, it is tempting for us to try to contribute to our salvation, to prove to God how we could somehow be righteous by claiming to God the very good things that we feel that he should be impressed by. But our good works will not add to the perfect righteousness by which Christ has already granted to you. And you can think of it in the other token. Those filthy sins which you have committed will not take away that very righteousness by which Christ has credited to you. For Christ, the Lamb of God, has certainly taken all your sin away. So your good works will not make you more righteous when you already have the perfect righteousness of Christ, and your sins will not make you less righteous when your sin is taken away and you have the righteousness of Christ. So even though our sin is always before us, and even though we continually face temptation, and even though we continually cave into the temptations which we face out of the weakness of our flesh, God continues to see us who we are in Christ. He sees not us as the sinner that we are, but he sees us as the saint redeemed by Christ and credited with the very righteousness of Christ. So, how is it that you can be righteous? In Christ. And so what will you receive on the last day? As a Christian, you will receive that gift of eternal life, which Jesus spoke of in Matthew 25. And so this means that when Jesus comes again in glory, he will count you, dear brothers and sisters in Christ, as his sheep. He will even say of you that he was hungry and you fed him. He was naked and you clothed him. He was thirsty and you gave him something to drink. He was a stranger and you gave him a place to stay. You may find yourself wondering, when did you do these things? Because as a Christian, you are not keeping track of your good works because you know that they do not contribute to your salvation, but you do them in thanksgiving and in gratitude for what God has done for you and in an effort to fulfill his very will for you in your life. And so you're not keeping track of them. Instead, God is. But God isn't using them to somehow credit you as being more righteous on that last day. Instead, they are just evidence of the reality of the faith by which God has worked in you through his word. And so we simply do these good works which flow forth from faith. After all, having been already received into God's favor, it then becomes our desire to be thankful for the eternal blessings granted to us in Christ, and then it becomes our desire to do good to others. We don't do this to somehow earn God's favor. Instead, we do it because we've been received into his favor, and we desire to be a blessing to others as God has been a blessing to us. So on the last day when Jesus returns, he will count us as sheep who are righteous in Christ. He will credit us with all these works that we didn't realize we were doing. And he will be with us when we meet Christ, and he will deliver us and take us to be with him forever. Our bodies will be raised, and they will be perfect in every way. They will be glorious and incorruptible and immortal. And we will dwell with our Lord and with our brothers and sisters in Christ in perfect harmony and in perfect peace forever. And we will, at the last, be with our Lord in all perfection. And therefore, we encourage one another with these words. Amen. The peace of God, which passes all understanding, keep your hearts and your minds in Christ Jesus to life everlasting. Amen.